So good morning, church, again. Good morning. Okay. So so this is the first of June, right? So we are beginning 1st of June, the second half, like, you know, of the year with something meaningful. Because the first half of the year went in, what, anyone remembers? What was the series that we did in the first half of the year? Knowing your God, right? So it looks like, you know, God really intends us to know Him, like in, out, and, you know, around. So what we are going to do is, it is today, it marks the beginning of a new series on the Holy Spirit. Now you may wonder, okay, we already know the Holy Spirit, but what we have seen is, over the period of time, we have become a little cold. Like, you know, we say, oh, we know the Holy Spirit. Or there might be certain people in our church who may not be knowing. Because as Virgil clearly said, like, you know, only English. Because we are a community of people coming from different cultures, different background. Faith level is different, right? So you may know a certain level about the Holy Spirit. But some people may not know it at all. They may have just seen it, heard it, or have a notion about it. So we as a church want everybody to be literally soaked in knowing the Holy Spirit, in knowing who our God is, in knowing what happens in the realm of the Trinity. And so what we are going to do is we'll start this series on the Holy Spirit, and we will continue it for another 2 to 3 months. Of course, there will be guest speakers in between. You will have a different variety altogether. But we will see to it that we are knowing the Holy Spirit from now on. So we will be doing a series on the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, understanding what it is. And also, we will try to exercise those gifts in our church services once we are, like, literally soaked into the Holy Spirit. So we will dwell in this, right? And we will also not only speak about it on Sundays, but we will also speak about it during the weekdays, like our midweek meeting and all that, so that we are very well, you know, we know that what we are talking about, what our belief system is, and how we, you know, dwell in the Holy Spirit, right? So yes, the Holy Spirit, the giver, and the gift. Okay, so today we are going to talk only about the giver. Okay, so in the Bible, okay, I know that many of us may know where all it is mentioned about the Holy Spirit, but I would like you to recall the first time when God was introduced in the Bible. Anyone knows how God was introduced in the Bible? God, the Father. Genesis. Yes, I was expecting that answer. Genesis. How is God introduced? In the beginning, God. It was like a bang, right? Like in the beginning, like you have all these Avenger stories, those music, and in the beginning there was nothing, and then God created this, and then the pace slows down, right? And then we know there are many stories, and this happened, that happened, and this happened. But we do not hear much about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. However, here and there, I will later on give you a glimpse of where the Holy Spirit is introduced in the Old Testament. But over the period of time, it happens, and you know, the pace goes on, right? Then, how is Jesus introduced? Very easy. Jesus, Christmas. How is Jesus introduced? To you? Sorry? Baby Jesus, yes. There are angels singing, right? So that is also very dramatic, correct? Sorry, somebody said something? Prophecies, yeah. So your prophecies are recalled and said, you remember there was this Isaiah who said this, there's this Joel who said this, and this is what it is, right? So Jesus also introduced very dramatically. How is the Holy Spirit introduced to you in the Bible? Baptism of the Holy Spirit demarcates, right? the introduction of the Holy Spirit. So according to any new believer, any new Christian, the Holy Spirit then moves on, right, from Acts. So we think that, okay, Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of the Holy Spirit's era. So we take it as, okay, God the Father, Old Testament. Jesus Christ, New Testament. Holy Spirit, the epistles, the Acts, right? So we have divided the Bible into three parts. But actually, it is not like that, okay? All the three are a triune God. That means all three have been operating all throughout the Bible, right from Genesis to the Revelation. However, in our human minds, we are not able to understand that aspect. And so we say, okay, in the beginning, Old Testament, God the Father, he only operated everything, it is finished. Then Jesus comes, he preaches and all that, and then it is finished. Then the Holy Spirit. So we feel that the Holy Spirit is still moving. Yes, so according to you, this is the Holy Spirit era, not Jesus era. What do you think? It is only the God the Father era or Jesus era or Holy Spirit era. Which era is this? Triune, yes. So it is actually all three, the triune God. So who the Holy Spirit is, we will look into it as we move along. So we know that the Holy Spirit is introduced in Acts, but we will read from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Why? Because we need to know the purpose of this introduction as to why we are introducing the Holy Spirit today. All right? So as I said earlier, it is so that we are soaked into it, absorbed into it, and we understand the functioning of the Holy Spirit and how we as a church need to function in this. So we'll read from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Right? So even Paul said, I don't want you to be uninformed. Everybody needs to be informed about it. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Can all of you tell each other, Jesus is Lord? Yes. So just now, the words or phrase that you spoke, Jesus is Lord, is not by human words. Okay? That is because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Because it very clearly says, if you do not have the Spirit of God, that means you cannot utter these words. And verse 4, there are different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So that means there is nobody on this in this congregation who does not have a gift. According to this scripture portion, at least one gift, okay, each one will have, right? So if you are saying that, oh, I don't know whether I have the Spirit of God or not, you just said it, Jesus is Lord. So that means Jesus has, or the Spirit has touched you. But you need to discover it more. You need to sit with God more and know, Lord, what is it that you want me to operate in? What is a gift that you have given it to me? That will come in the following weeks. But today we are only focusing on the Holy Spirit. Now, who is this Holy Spirit? Do you think Holy Spirit is a little, his function is a little lesser than the function of Jesus and God the Father? Do we think that way? Yes, no? No, some are confused, some don't want to say it. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is God. Can you tell your neighbor, Holy Spirit is God? Yes, Holy Spirit is God. Just like God the Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is a person. I'll tell you how towards the end. The Holy Spirit is a person. It is one in the Trinity. One among the Trinity. So you have God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So many times we feel, okay, we have, like, you know, we generally, as a human tendency, we want to see it as a hierarchy. We say, okay, God the Father, Jesus, then the Holy Spirit. It's like this. But actually, it is like this. Okay, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are all co-equal, and they have co-functions, like they function equally, and they all work together as a unit and not differently. And we as a church believe in the Trinity. So we do not, like, say, oh, we only believe in God the Father or only in Jesus Christ, but we believe in all the three persons of God. So God, the Holy Spirit, is also the advocate. That is how do we know that? Because when Jesus went, he said, I will send you the Holy Spirit to comfort you, to counsel you. Don't think that you are alone, but my Spirit is going to be with you. So he is the advocate now between God and us. So the Spirit leads us. So we say, no, the Spirit is leading me to do something good, or the Spirit is telling me that this is what I'm guilty of, I should ask forgiveness, or, you know, repent about this thing. So the Holy Spirit is constantly renewing us, cleansing us, and helping us to come to purity, right? Because eventually Jesus has given us a task to become more like him. So how do we know all this? We have the Old Testament reference. As I said earlier, the Holy Spirit was there then also. So in Genesis 1:2, it says in the Old Testament, Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So that means Holy Spirit was there in the Old Testament. Okay, the Spirit of God. So if you see, in the Old Testament, mostly the Holy Spirit is not referred as the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit or, you know, my Spirit or something. It refers to as the Spirit of God. So it is nothing but the Holy Spirit. Now you may think, okay, it's only in Genesis, right? Where else in the Old Testament it is there? It is there in Exodus 31:3. So there are a few verses which I have not put it deliberately so that you will search for it. Okay, so Exodus 31:3. And I have filled him. So this is when Moses had asked somebody, to Bezalel, to build the altar. So God told Moses, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Okay, so even if he had to build an altar, he couldn't do it without the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, the Spirit fills Bezalel with wisdom and skill to craft the tabernacle. Then Judges 14:6, very famous. Do we know about Samson? Very clearly written that when the Spirit of God came, he was super strong. He became very, very strong. So you know that the Spirit was moving, the supernatural strength. Then where else? Samuel 10:10. So we know that Saul, when he was chosen as the king, Saul in the Old Testament, not the New Testament, when he was chosen as the king, when he was anointed, he was in the company of prophets. And it says very clearly in 1 Samuel 10:10, when he and his servants arrived, that is Saul and his servants arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God, okay, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. Then in Ezekiel 36:26-27, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So many times, maybe we have read it in the Old Testament, but probably we have just brushed it off, like, you know, spirit. But actually it is talking about the Holy Spirit. So now when we read the Old Testament in the next time, like, you know, please be aware of where all God is speaking about His Spirit, okay, in the Old Testament, so that we know that the Spirit is working even in those days, even in that time or that era. Of course, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit influences a selective number of people. For example, we know about Samson. We know about Saul. We know about Moses. Okay, very selective people. But in the New Testament, the difference is that He wants to reveal Himself to all of us. Right? So in the New Testament and continually, He wants to reveal. So it is not that we are chosen, so God wants to reveal the Holy Spirit to us. No. It is to everybody that He wants to pour out the Spirit to. So it says in Matthew 3:16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. At that moment, we know, right? All the three came together when Jesus was baptized. That is God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God said, He is my beloved Son. Then the Spirit came upon Him. And Jesus was, of course, getting baptized. So all three of them were present there. It is in Matthew 3:16 and all the other Gospels. Then John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit as a helper and teacher. Then we know Acts 2, the day of the Pentecost, when we literally saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit among the people. Then in Romans, we know that, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Right? And then we also know the fruit of the Spirit, which is emphasized that we live in the fruit of the Spirit. Right? So we know now, Old Testament, the Holy Spirit exists. New Testament, Holy Spirit exists. Today, does the Holy Spirit exist? Yes? Doubt? Yes? Yes. Okay. Now, how do we know? How does the Holy Spirit look like? Can anybody tell? Your idea of the Holy Spirit. Generally, people say electricity or, like, you know, something very dramatic. What do you think Holy Spirit looks like? Dove? Like, I showed the picture of a dove. So, any pigeon or any dove you see, you say Holy Spirit. What do you think the Holy Spirit looks like? Okay. It's not like you have the wrong definition of the Holy Spirit. It's not like that. But Holy Spirit is also a person. Okay, so definitely He will have the qualities of a person. It's not like He's like fire, just because it is said in the New Testament, fire came upon them. Nothing like that. So Holy Spirit is also a person. Like how we said, Trinity, right? So co-equal and co-existent. So if we say Jesus is a person, then of course Holy Spirit is also a person, right? So how do we know that? Because the Holy Spirit has intellect. He can think like all people can think, right? A personality can think. So 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So whenever many times we may have seen some people who are unable to read, like, you know, in many times it has happened, but suddenly their eyes are opened and they're able to understand what it says. Or sometimes we pray for children or any youth or somebody who is not able to think clearly. And when we pray, the Spirit of God enables them to think, intellect is opened up. So because the Spirit Himself has intellect, He searches deep things of God. Romans 8:27, He says, He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Right? So So Holy Spirit is an intelligent person. The Holy Spirit also has emotions. How do we know? Of course, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, it says you need to have those. So of course, one of them is that because the Spirit of God has emotions, so the Holy Spirit has emotions. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why grieve? Of course, because he's a person. You know, he can be grieved. Whatever we do can hurt him. If we neglect the power of the Holy Spirit, it hurts. It hurts God, it hurts Jesus, it hurts the Holy Spirit, right? So do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has emotions. How do we know? I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. So we know that the Spirit also has emotions. What else? What else makes Holy Spirit a person? The Holy Spirit has a will. Why? How do we know this? Because it says the Spirit distributes to each one just as he determines. Means he decides. The Holy Spirit decides as to who gets what gift. Right? So he has a will. God's will, we say, no? God, let your will be done. Our Father in heaven, you know, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Similarly, the Holy Spirit has a will. Whatever he wills, that happens, or that gift is given to us. Also, his will also shows the ability for him to decide whether this thing is correct for us or not. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you will make the right decisions. You will ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. That is what, when we see in the New Testament, Paul always prayed and said, the Spirit was not allowing me to do this. The Spirit told me to do this. This happened, that happened. So if you see in Acts 16:67, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit was keeping them from preaching the word into the province of Asia. So when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So who is deciding here? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is deciding, and he has a will. Fourthly, the Spirit acts as a person. How do we know? Because he teaches. Correct? We say that the Holy Spirit, please help me to know and understand what is happening. But it says in John 14:26, he's a teacher. He guides. In John 16:13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Holy Spirit intercedes in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He speaks. So many times, even in the scriptures, it is, we claim it, right? Whenever we are in front of the authority, or whenever we are under persecution, who will speak on behalf of us? The Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit will allow you to speak, or will give you the words to speak. That is because the Holy Spirit speaks. So he is not like an electrifying gadget or something like a thundering bolt, but he is a person, and we need to respect that, and we need to honor the Holy Spirit and allow him to come in us, within us, right? So once we know this aspect of the Holy Spirit, then we will be more ready to grasp those gifts and in the coming weeks, right? Yes. Now, why do we need spiritual gifts? Any idea why? If the Holy Spirit is there, let them work, right? Let him work. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? I mean, why do we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Any idea? If the Father has a car, why does the Son need a car? He can travel in the Father's car for the rest of his life, right? Yes or no? No, because if the Father has something good, he wants to give it to his children, right? So he says that, okay, when you grow up, I will give you this, or you can also purchase this. So that is why, if you see, it is a tendency, a human tendency. When we have something good, we want to give it. Hence, the Holy Spirit, the God the Father who is giving us the Holy Spirit wants us to also enjoy the same gifts that the Holy Spirit operates in. So what are the reasons for spiritual gifts? That is to strengthen the church, right? So it is never ever for my own selfish gain. It is always to edify the church. And as announced clearly today, like, you know, many times we may see some people doing certain things which is not in the eye of the leadership. That is completely not of the Holy Spirit. That is your human spirits trying to manipulate things or do things which are selfish and, you know, for selfish gain. But when you have the Holy Spirit, we will edify the church. We will strengthen the church with the gifts that God has blessed us with. What else? To serve others, right? So it is not easy when we say street children ministry. To go to and serve them, we need the Spirit of God. Because if we go with a human spirit, we will kind of hate them. We'll say, oh, they're so dirty. But because the Spirit of God is in us, we are able to love them unconditionally, because that is not our love. That is God's love poured to them through us, right? So the Spirit of God works in us to serve others, right? So if we go with our own strength, our own mind, then we will not be able to do it. So the reason for spiritual gifts is to demonstrate God's power to bring unity and love. In Ephesians 4, 11, 13, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So to bring unity and love. So this explains, that is the reason, like, you know, why God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe there are certain traits in all of us, and we may feel that, oh, I think I'm already filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm already having this gift of the Holy Spirit in me, okay? There could be certain misconceptions about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, what are those misconceptions? Before we actually get into the spiritual gifts, we will read the misconceptions. So the misconceptions are natural talents as spiritual gifts. What do you mean by natural talents? You're born with it. So you may feel, from birth itself, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Right? So it is not like that. Okay? Because as we said earlier, what is the spiritual gift for? To serve the church, to serve others, to edify the body of Christ. Every natural talent or a learned or experience is not a spiritual gift. Okay? While God can use your talents, but it is not a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are supernaturally given for the edification of the church. How do we know that? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So if I am given a certain gift, it is for the good of everybody, not only for my benefit. So do not get confused with your natural talent and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? If you are a voracious reader, congratulations, you are a good reader, but that does not mean that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? How is it benefiting the others, okay? Are you reading the Bible in the church? Are you explaining to them in the Bible study? No. So if you are, you know, you need to gauge that. You need to kind of understand where is my natural talent and where is my spiritual gift. For example, musical ability. I may be a very good musician, but what is it serving? What is the purpose of it? Okay? Public speaking, eloquence is valuable, but it differs from the gift of prophecy or teaching. So that does not mean that if I'm an eloquent speaker, does not mean I am gifted in prophecy and teaching. Next is emotional sensitivity as discernment. Now, there are certain people who are very emotional and they're very sensitive to the other. So they may feel, I'm already baptized in the Holy Spirit. I know that this person is thinking this. They're so emotionally, you know, burdened, or they are emotionally high or whatever. Some assume that being highly intuitive or emotionally sensitive means that they have the gift of discernment. Okay? But that is not. Discernment involves, okay, what does discernment involve? Recognizing spiritual truths. If suppose somebody is coming and asking you for a certain favor, you, if you have discernment, you will know what spirit he or she is coming from. Okay, so that is the difference between being emotionally sensitive and discernment. It is not the same as being naturally perceptive or empathetic. Okay, so discernment is different when the Spirit is of God is upon you and you know the truth behind a certain person that the Spirit is telling you. Then positive thinking as faith. Today it is going to rain. Today it is going to rain. Positive thinking, no, it is not going to rain. Do you think it is faith or not faith? It is only positive thinking. Positive thinking means we are not believing something. So it is not a supernatural confidence. Faith is supernatural confidence that even though I don't see this, I will get a job in the near future because my God lives and I know that God will provide. So my dependency is on God, not on my positive thinking when I go for an interview, right? So it is a supernatural confidence in God's power, not just optimism or positive thinking, right? So because positive thinking can be ruined in a minute when your friend comes and tells you a sad story, you'll be like, oh, everything is gone, you know, in the this thing. But when you have a supernatural confidence, that is faith, you may say, nahi, this is going to happen. This will happen. I will clear the interview. I will get the bonus, or God will provide, right? So that is positive thinking. So these are all misconceptions that we may have when we are operating in our spirit. Leadership skills as spiritual authority. Okay, so we know that there are some spiritual gifts like pastoral gifts or shepherding somebody or directing, but that is not like, you know, just because I am a TL in some company does not mean I am gifted by the Holy Spirit, right? So while leadership is important, spiritual leadership is a different, distinct from corporate or secular leadership. Some assume that being a strong leader automatically means they have a spiritual gift, but biblical leadership is marked by servanthood and divine guidance. So if you know your leaders, they will have, you will know that, okay, there is a supernatural hand of God upon that person. It is not just like how your boss behaves or how your TL behaves, right? Or your coordinator behaves. Speaking in tongues as a learned skill. I know German, I know Spanish, I know French, and I know tongues. Okay, so that does not mean that, again, don't mix up the spiritual gifts with tongues. So just because I know a certain Arabic language or some other language does not mean I know tongues or I can interpret tongues. Tongues is again, is it edifying the church? Is it blessing the church? Right? Wealth and success as a sign of spiritual blessing. You may be having the whole world in your hands, but if you are not edifying the church with that, I don't think that, you know, we don't think that it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, why? Because being baptized in the Holy Spirit is a transformative experience that empowers believers for spiritual growth and service. So what will I do? Of course, if I am spiritually gifted and I have the wealth, I will have the gift of generosity. I will always operate as to who is in need. I will work among them and I will bless them. So that is the spiritual aspect to it. So these are some of the misconceptions that we need to be vigilant about, right? Now, if you want to know whether you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you need to have an evidence. How do we have an evidence? a deepened relationship with God. The Holy Spirit brings greater intimacy with God. In Romans 8, 15 to 16, it says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So we have a deepened relationship with God. So now you can, you know, see whether these skills are only skills or is it related to all these things. A deepened relationship with God gives me, you know, this power or this faith. Spiritual boldness and power. I am able to speak to anybody about the Lord, or I am able to do things for them, pray for them, or, you know, be an encouragement to them with the Spirit of God. Manifestation of spiritual gifts. So am I able to speak in tongues or maybe prophetic gifting, encourage, motivate? Am I able to do certain healing, miraculous things? So manifestation of the spiritual gifts. A life marked by spiritual fruit. So am I only growing in patience? Am I not growing in love? Am I only growing in gentleness and not in goodness? So am I growing in the fruit of the Spirit? So these are all evidences that help us to understand whether am I baptized in the Holy Spirit. A greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's leading. That means not only to pray for others, but am I also convicted about sin? Means when I am doing something wrong, am I convicted? That also helps me to understand whether I am baptized in the Holy Spirit or not. Because if every time I am good, and I am not guilty of anything, that means something is wrong somewhere. Right? We are only looking at the positive aspect of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit also helps us to cleanse ourselves. The cleaning process is equally important as manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Right? So all that is also important. Now, gifts are for building up the body, not elevating self. Okay, so that is something that we need to remember. Holy Spirit is such a wonderful companion that we will ever have. Jesus totally relied on the Holy Spirit each time. The Bible says that the Spirit led him. The Spirit led him. Okay, consider these facts. Christ is born. The Spirit is his forerunner. Christ is baptized, the Spirit bears witness. Christ is tempted, the Spirit leads him up. Christ ascends, the Spirit takes his place. Throughout the scripture, the following titles are used for the Holy Spirit. He is called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Mind of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Adoption, the Truth of Liberty, the Spirit of Wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge. This only begins to show how unlimited the Holy Spirit is. Right? In John 15, 26 to 27, it says, but I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. So let's desire to understand the Holy Spirit more. Let's grow together in absorbing the presence of God's Spirit. Let's begin this journey in one Spirit. Amen. So I'll call upon Pastor Virgil to pray over us.